And as such, Mahler had no compunction about using those very same song melodies again in instrumental, that is, non-vocal works, if he wanted to evoke the mood and spirit that a particular melody originally represented in a song. Back to the example at hand, the opening seconds of Ging Heute Morgen's Übers Feld. Please, just the beginning of the song again to get it back in our ears.
Ging heut morgen übers Feld, Tauber auf den Gräser hing, sprach zu mir der lustige Fink, ei du Geld.
And now the first theme of the first movement of Mahler's Symphony No. 1. Even though there are no words here in the symphony, it's clear that Mahler is using this tune to evoke the same sense of beauty, nature, naivete, and potential heartbreak that in the song this melody explicitly evoked. Mahler's use of his song melodies then became a sort of personal musical iconography, a musical shorthand. His songs and song melodies became emotional leitmotifs that he often plugged directly into his symphonic works as he saw fit. Des Knaben Wunderhorn. It was in the fall of 1887, during Mahler's second season at Leipzig, that he discovered the poetic anthology Des Knaben Wunderhorn, or The Youth's Magic Horn, which had been published in 1808. Selected and edited by Achim von Arnim and Clemens Brentano, the anthology is filled with German-language folk poetry, poems about children and animals, heaven and hell, soldiers and saints, poetry filled with humanity, sadness, love, humor, and joy. Well, Mahler was enchanted. The poetry spoke directly to him. The anthology became Mahler's single greatest inspiration, both musical and poetic, until around the year 1900. As an example of this poetry, we turn to the marvelous Saint Anthony of Padua preaches to the fishes. Please, I would read you this poem, and then we will sample Mahler's setting of it. When it's time for the sermon, Saint Anthony finds the church empty. He goes to the river and preaches to the fishes. They clap with their tails that glitter in the sunshine. The carp and the flounder have all come to listen. With their mouths hanging open, they listen devoutly. The fish had never heard a sermon so clever. Pike with pointed noses, who are constantly fighting, have swum here in haste to hear the heavenly saint. And even that sinner who never eats dinner, the cod I refer to, have come for the sermon. No cod had ever heard a sermon so clever. Fine eels and sturgeons who eat like lords deign to listen to the sermon. Crabs also and turtles, usually slow as molasses, rise quickly from the mud to hear the saint speak. No crab had ever heard a sermon so clever. Big fish and small fish, noble and common, lift their heads to the preacher like intelligent creatures. And God, in his wisdom, commands that they listen. When the sermon is finished, they all swim away. The pikes remain thieves. The eels are still lovers. The sermon was clever. The fish are as ever. The crabs still walk backwards. The cod are still fat. The carp is a glutton. The sermon's forgotten. The sermon was clever, but the fish are as ever. All right, it's wonderful, and the poetic metaphor here is obvious. People, like the fish, spend their dreary and meaningless lives swimming aimlessly about. They might listen to the words of a saint. They might even be temporarily moved by the words of a saint, but ultimately they will return to their flawed, empty, sin, and vice-filled lives. The music Mahler created for this poem is suitably comic, almost circus-like in its mocking of the fish and, for that matter, St. Anthony of Padua, who's got nothing better to do than preach to such an ungrateful Piscean rabble. Please note,